Morning, everybody. So we are holding in the middle of still of the same discussion that we started 2 days ago of the question of Yavid Mehani, Yavid Lomahani, the Machlokes between Rava and Abaye. Abaye being of the opinion, as we've said many times by now, that Yavid Mehani, because, you know, of course, if you're going to get Malkus, you have to have, you know, accomplished something that we're going to give you the Malkus for. Rava, on the other hand, says no. You know, you're getting Malkus because you went against what God said, and therefore that's enough to give you Malkus, but your actions don't actually, you know, have any value, you know, in terms of their legal ramifications. Okay. Rabbi Korobkin stopped just a little bit down on Vav Amud Aleph by Gezel, exactly. Vare Gezel, so we're going to start from that, is the second word on the sixth line of the Amud. Vare Gezel. We continue with our barrage of attacks on either Abaye or Rava. The following is from the case of stealing something. Derachmana amar lo sigzel. The Torah says you can't steal. Now, in terms of setting the stage for this, Abaye would tell you if you stole something, does it become yours? Yes. Rava would say if you stole something, does it become yours? No. Now let's take a look. Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Gozel etzim asan kelim semer v'asan begadim mishalim kishas hagzela. So the question was, let's say someone stole a bunch of pieces of firewood. And they're an amazing craftsman. They carve out the wood and they make the most beautiful, wonderful, whatever it is, I have no idea, a flute. Who cares? Any sort of kli. So now, according to Abaye, when you stole them, they became yours. So what should you potentially owe the guy? Well, we're going to deal with the question of Shinui altogether, yeah, but yeah. That is the question here. The question is if Rava will agree to that. At the end of the day, it's still opposed to Rava's logic, right? Abaye would easily agree with you that, of course, when you steal something, it becomes yours, so of course you're just going to have to give back firewood. Rava would potentially say, extra svaros aside, in logic, we would assume that Rava would say they don't become yours. You stole them, you can steal them from today till tomorrow, they don't become yours, you've got to give back what you stole. If now what you stole is worth 10 times as much, too bad on you. Yet, not, we have a Mishnah which specifically says you have to give it back. Mishalim kishas hagzela. You have to pay it like the time that you stole it. Tiyufta derava, and this should again sort of refute Rava. Amar lecha Rava, Rava would answer, no. Shani hasam de amar kra. It's different because, again, as these words from Rabbi Korobkin will be stuck in my mind all week, extra verbiage. Okay, so if we have extra verbiage, we have another, you know, an extra word in the passage to tell you that in this case, it does, in fact, have some effect, or specifically the way he learns the drasha, asher gazal, kemashe gazal. You have to return, veshivas hagzila, asher gazal. That which you stole, so says Rav, it means you've got to give it back like it was at the time that you stole, even though it's true, it doesn't actually become yours. Ula baye hay asher gazal. What are you going to do with that asher gazal? Mi baile, he needs it. Al gzelo shalom mosif chomesh, al gzelo shel aviv eino mosif chomesh. To teach you it's asher gazal, it has to be that you stole it. When it comes to swearing falsely on something that you stole, you'd normally have to add 1/5 to the payment. If that was something that, you know, someone else stole, like your father, you would not have to add the 1/5 in that case, and that's what this pasuk comes to teach us. Okay. So that was the first case of today. Second case of today. Vare mashkon. Okay, what about the case of a collateral? Okay, does everybody know what a mashkon is in general? Right? Okay, Derachmana Amar, that the Torah says, Lo savo besola avot avoto. You cannot come to the person's house and take their collateral by force. Okay, so again, let's think of Abaye and Rava before we get to the question, because I think that usually helps us understand the question a little bit better. Okay, so, according to Abaye, let's say you took this person's mashkon, okay, la avot avoto. Would you have to... Would we assume that it's in your property, or would we assume that's in his property?
In yours.
Why? Because what you did counts. It's, meaning, we wouldn't force you to just give it back to him right away, according to Abaye. Whereas according to Rava, what would we say? It's not effective, and therefore you've got to give it back immediately. You know, it's just not yours. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Machzir esakar balayla vesamacharisha biyom. It says, in this case, even you should return the pillow at night and the plow by day. What does that seem to imply?
The rest of the time you can keep it.
If I can keep it at night, that means it's like Abaye. What Abaye says, that when I take this mashkon, I should get to keep it. It's true, I have to give it to him at certain times so that he can use it for his livelihood. which is the purpose of even when he agrees to give you a mashkon, what you have to do. But nevertheless, these rules still dictate what you have to do. So therefore, to you, to the Rava. This is, you know, again, going to, ostensibly, shlagav Rava. Amar lecha Rava, Rava would tell you no. Shani hasam, we have our extra verbiage, de amar kra, hashev tashiv lo esavot kishuv go hashemesh. The pasuk specifically tells you you have to return it. Which means, again, that it's acknowledging, basically, that in this case it becomes like the person's. And again, that you would return it for these particular cases. Okay, and that's what the pasuk tells you. Abaye, and according to Abaye, you love damar achmana hashev tashiv. And Abaye would tell you, no, hashev tashiv doesn't come to tell me that it becomes mine and I'm supposed to return it when I can, but rather, I would have thought, listen, the act is done. Now I took the collateral. I might not have to give it back, and I can just say, or I can, yes, give it back. Meaning there's nothing to tell me that I should specifically give it back still, kamash malan, that you should give it back. Okay, because of the pasuk, exactly. So at the end of the day, really, you know, it's easy to see how both of them learned the pasuk here. At the end of the day, the conclusion is going to be that it works, so to say. When you take this mashkon, it becomes yours, but there are certain rules that are going to tell you when you have to return it to the person, not because it's like you didn't take it, but because you, you know, owe it to the person to give them their livelihood during the day and their pillow to sleep on at night. Okay.
We still haven't resolved their disagreements.
Yeah, that's correct. I was going to say, clearly, we're on different pages here. We're not close to that yet. Well, we actually are pretty close. But anyways, Tzitzik Gemara here, Chaser Lashon Acher. I'm not going to read in something that's not in our Gemara to our Gemara to try to explain it. Let's continue within our Gemara. Let's move on. Kamash Malan. Varei Peya. Next case is a case of Peya. Now, here it gets a little bit hard to understand from the beginning. The question is, what if you're not going to leave aside Peya? Does that have any, again, desired legal or halachic effect? Meaning, rather than taking something, we're now talking about sort of from the passive sense. When you passively do this avera, what will that leave you with? Will you still be continuing to be chayev to do that mitzvah? Meaning, we have a mitzvah of peah. Okay? So, the question is, according to Abaye and Rava, what happens if you don't do peah?
You're still in possession of something.
Well, according to Abaye, so let's think it through. According to Abaye, listen, you missed out your opportunity, and now everything's yours, and you have an avera. According to Rava, you should still have to give it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Okay, so with that framework, let's take a look at what the Gemara says about peya. Varei peya, in the case of leaving aside the corner of one's field, Rachmana Amma, the Torah says, Lo sechale pasadcha bekutzracha. We have a lo sechale to say, don't, you know, completely harvest everything, meaning you've got to leave it over. Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mitzvahs peya lahafrish min hakama. You've got to separate it from the grain when it's standing. Meaning, when you're harvesting your field for the first time, when you're cutting stuff down, you leave a section of your field. Now, what happened if you didn't do that? And again, here we said ostensibly there would be a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye would say, that's it, it's done, you know, you didn't avera, but you can go home. Rava would say, no, you got to do it at the next stage. Lo hafrish min hakama, yafrish min hamarim. If you didn't do it while it was standing, then you've got to leave it from the wheat that you've collected, the whatever you call them. The sheaves are a different thing. But basically, once you harvest the wheat, you're going to put them in bundles. And says this Mishnah, you've got to leave it even at the bundling stage. So it's true you missed, you know, when you were just regularly leaving standing wheat in the field. Now you've got to leave it a bundle in the corner over. Okay, let's say you missed that opportunity. Lo hifrish min ha'amarim, yafrish min akri. So then you should actually take off or leave over peya even from your big pile of grain that you have. I mean, you already have a big pile of grain, you're about to spread it out, and, you know, these are different stages of the grain process. And that point, says the Mishnah, you've got to leave off peya then. Achelo mercho, until you did the meruach. Again, meruach is smoothing out the grain in some form or fashion. It's very important because at that point it becomes chayav in trumos and maaseros, as we're going to see in the Gemara right now. Mircha, let's say you did. Maastro, first you're going to take off maastros. Right again. Or and truma, obviously. Vinosa in low, and then you're going to, again, take off your peya. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru. And it goes so far that they even said on the end of Rabbi Shmuel, af mafrish min ha'isa. It goes all the way down. You could have, you know, been kneading your dough. Just leave peya from your dough. It never ends. Says the Gemara to Yuftot Abaye. So how's Abaye, right? Well, says the Gemara to Abaye, how's Abaye possibly going to answer this? We see that no matter how much he tries to not do the mitzvah of peah, His actions don't have any legal ramifications. He's still got to give it the next day, the next day, the next stage, the next stage. Amar lecha Abaye, Abaye would answer, no, extra verbiage. Shani hasam de amar kra, ta'azov, ta'azov. Okay, le'aniv la'gir ta'azov osam. It doesn't say azov, ta'azov. That's by a different pasuk. So therefore, since it has the words extra ta'azov, you should leave it over. So that teaches you that you should leave it over at any and all stages. That's why the pasuk tells us that. Yisera. V'rav amar lecha, he would tell you, no, yesh lecha aziv acheres shekazov. Says Rava, there is actually another time when you leave it over, even though it shouldn't be left over. And what will be this case? Hamafkir karmo. If someone were to actually give their be mafkir their vineyard, meaning they would declare their vineyard ownerless, and then what happens? Tanya hamafkir karmo vihishkim lashachar. He got up early instead of coming to the 6 o'clock daf. He went to his vineyard. Uvatzer, when he harvested it, chayev, in the following things, he's going to be required to still fulfill the following mitzvos, even though he was mafgirit, even though it's not his. Okay? He didn't reclaim it. No, that's not the way that we're reviewing this case. It's hefker, and in fact, he's not going to have to give maser from it, right? Because he's not taking all this stuff, but we're saying even just by virtue of him, you know, having owned it yesterday and getting up early in the morning and doing this, he has to keep certain halachos that say ta'azov, which are, okay, chayev, the peret ve'ololos. Anybody know what those are?
Yeah.
What they are? Anybody want to fill me in? They're halachos related to grapes. Peret is the little single grapes, right? And ololos are the little clusters, okay? Those are things that, again, you have to leave over for the poor. V'shekcha, again, if something is forgotten, uvepeya, and the corner of the field. Upater min ha-ma'aser, and even though you're pater from ma'aser, because it is hefker, right? Because it's hefker, it's not yours. If you reclaimed it, he would be 100% chayiv and ma'aser. Nevertheless, he has to give peya. Why? And he has to give shekhan, he has to give peret, and he has to give all of those, because all of these say ta'azov. Ta'azov teaches you that in this case, where the person was mafkir his field, he's got to follow up and still do all these mitzvos. Okay, that's what the ta'azov teaches you.
When he does all these things, it's by his actions he's kind of reclaiming it, but I guess not.
No, he's doing this on behalf of Hefker.
The worker working in the field would have to do that as well. It's,
right.
It's an action on the person who's doing farming and not an owner.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ad Kan, we've resolved our three machloksim for today. Okay, finally, we get to Rav Dani's question. V'hashta d'shanin an kalhani shinuye. Yes. Finally, says the Gemara. Now, sorry, I skipped a line. Amar le'ravacha b'rei de'ravah le'ravashi. V'ashtu shenina kanalani shenuye. Now that we've answered up all these 10 billion questions, I saw that article actually counts them. That's hilarious. Okay? Says the Gemara. De'abai v'ravah by ravah. B'may pligi! So, how many cases could there be left for them to argue in? We've like covered Kala Torah Kula over the last stuff and a half. You know, what's left? And they had good explanations for each of them. So at the end of the day, which case does it practically boil down to? Avid Mahani, Avid Lo Mahani.
No, I think the crux of it is they said in each and every case the Torah gave an exception. So then where is there a case where there's no exceptions and this would actually come into play?
Right. Right.
And then you have to make a decision.
That's good. Okay. Says the Gemara, nevertheless, Beribis Ketutza Kamiflagi. They can be arguing about a regular case of prearranged ribis. Okay. The Gemara is going to talk about two types of ribis. Regular deoraisa ribis, which is when we agree, you know, for a certain price on something, and then there's going to be avak ribis, which we'll discuss in a second. Says the Gemara, it's actually going to be dependent on a machlokes that we have elsewhere. Okay, Abaye and Rava will be arguing about whether or not ribis actually takes effect. According to Abaye, if I charge someone ribis, the money becomes mine. I did an avera, the money becomes mine. According to Rava, I charge someone ribis, the money has to be returned. Why? Because I did an avera in charging this. Presumably, by the way, we're talking about even the principal, right? It's, in general, the act of charging ribis on a loan. It's not just the extra money has to be returned, right? But it's even the principal, I believe, and we'll see a case similar to that in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, let's see this machlokas, this earlier machlokas that we're going to compare them to. Ukd Rabbi Elazar, it's according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, ribis ketsutza yotza bidayanin. Rabbi Elazar says, if someone charged regular, normal ribis, the bezdin can actually come and take back the money from this person. Avak ribis, if however, if it was just avak ribis, so avak ribis is the following case as Rashi notes. Okay, I want to sell my field to one of you, and I say, the field right now is on sale for $1,000, but if you buy it in 2 months, it's $1,200. meaning you're essentially loaning me $1,200, you know, $1,000. Correct. It's sort of like implicit ribbis because there's a change in the price that you're going to have to be paying later. Because of the amount of time that I'm having the money, I'm offering you a cheaper deal. That's because it's considered avak ribbis, okay? So you can't do that, but it's not an iser d'oraisa. So he says Bezin would not come and repossess such money. V'Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Lazar, and he says, Afilu ribbis ketzutza ino yotzer b'dayanin. No, the Bezin will never step in and take back your ribbis ketzutza. So this is beautiful. So we have this machlokes. Abaye agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that the Bezin will never come and take back ribbis, and Rava agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Lazar that Bezin will come back and take it. Meaning that in that case it doesn't work, so Bezin takes it back. Whereas according to Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan, no, it works completely, and therefore Beis Din has no right to take back the loan. So this is going to be the way that we resolve the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Wait for a second, says the Gemara. Amarle, Hasam b'sfara pligi, Hasam b'karai pligi. Says you're making it sound like that case is dependent on the logic of Abaye and Rava. Meaning Abaye and Rava had this machlokes in logic, as we mentioned 2 days ago, as we mentioned to begin today, whether or not Yavid Mahani depends on their arguments. Abaye says, how can we give you Malkus if you didn't do anything? Rava says, no, you went against God's word. Says, so we would expect that that would be their machlokas. Problem, says the Gemara. If you look over there, they're actually arguing in terms of the interpretation of psukim. They can't be following this same machlokas because they give specific psukim there. So this is no better, by the way, than any of our other cases where both Abaye and both Rava would have to agree to whichever opinion we selected because they have psukim. Right? So, says the Gemara, you can't really say this is the machlokas. And says the Gemara, what will be their machlokas in psukim? Let's say, Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time at Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak said, what was the reason of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Krav, the Torah says, B'neshach masan v'tarbis lakach, v'chai lo yichyeh, l'chaim nitan v'lo l'hashavon. Says the Gemara, based on this pasuk in Yecheskel, which was actually quoted in Toronto Torah a few weeks ago, it says, if you, you know, lent with ribbis, not the greatest language, it says, V'chai lo yichyeh. Okay? Eis kol ha-toevosa ila asa mosu masta mav vo yichyeh. Lots of, you know, mean sort of words here, which we'll see. The next part of this passage is quoted there. But basically, says the Gemara, lechayim nitan v'lo hishavon. You know, you pay for this with your life, basically, and there's no opportunity to have the money returned. That's the way, that's what it means. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't get returned because it doesn't get returned. Because that's what the pasuk says here. That's what the pasuk implies. Continues the Gemara. Another pasuk. Okay. Ravacha barada amar mehachav yareisa me'elokecha ani Hashem limora nisati v'lo liyishavon. Again, it said you should fear. It says at the end of the pasuk of accepting ribbis, which is actually, by the way, also in Parshas Bahar, similar to some of the stuff that we talked about in Arachin. It says that again, I've given it to you know that you should be fearful of me, but not again that you should have to return it. It's another drasha from a pasuk that tells us that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't return it. Nothing to do with logic. Rava, interestingly, if you could think of the biggest raya that this is not totally on the machlokas, Rava even provides a reason for Rabbi Yochanan. Rava amar mehacha toevos ha'el asa mosim av demavo, which is the end of the first pasuk that we said. Yeah, and he also brings another pasuk, you know, also from the same section. Yecheskel lid ben paritz shofech dam, and he says basically in both of these pasuk we see hukshu malve ribis l'shofchei damim. People who, and again, this is pretty scary stuff. So, yeah, watch out. People who loan or who lend with ribbis are compared to murderers. Just like if you stab someone in the heart, you can't go back on it. So too, af malvi ribbis lo nitnu leheshavam. So too, if someone you know lends with ribbis, it cannot be returned. So all these three psukim show us that there's a reason from a pasuk. Why Rabbi Yochanan says that Beis Din cannot come and repossess a loan that had ribbis ketzutza. Okay, if that's the case, this cannot be the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. They will both say it depends on the psukim that you darshin, just like they said in all these previous cases. V'amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, but we're not even done with Rabbi Yochanan. Let's go back to Rabbi Lazar too. My time at Rabbi Lazar. What's the reason for Rabbi Lazar? Damakra v'chei achicha imach ahader lekihechi denaychi imach. Because the pasuk says again, similar to this in that section, you know, it says at the end of the pasuk, "Al tikach mito neshach v'sarbis v'chei achicha imach." Okay, that your brother should live with you. How do you have your brother living with you if he takes ribbis? The answer is, Bezin's got to return it so that he can live properly with you. Okay, and that's his drasha to say why you do have to return it. So it turns out that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar is actually nothing to do with Abaye and Rava. Fine. Says the Gemara, "Vela b'may kamifligi." So at the end of the day, we're still stuck. What will they argue about? "My kamifligi abai v'raba." Says the Gemara, "B'shinui kona." Okay. How exactly are you explaining this shinui kona? Rashi has two ways to explain this. One way gets back to what Dr. Harold said earlier, which is that changing something physically may actually affect the status of whether or not it becomes yours or not. If you make a change to the object in this mitzvah or avera, that will actually affect, again, its halachic status. How that squares with the previous case is one question, or shinui kona, any sort of general, it's a little bit more of a general explanation. I'm not sure exactly what he would say, but again, if you change from what God said, whether or not that will have you be kona an object, that would, you know, be another way to explain these words. But I would refer you to Rashi if you're interested in a longer discussion on this, because I don't have nor the time nor the ability to explain it in terms any clearer than sort of a general shinui kona. And that's where they're going to be arguing. Lishna achrin, another answer, which I think was actually the simplest answer, b'hai shinuya d'shaninan. At the end of the day, we've already had 17 million different places where their views make a difference as to how we darshan the psukim, right? In some cases, Abaye says this works very well, and you don't need a pasuk to teach you that halacha. In some cases, Rava says that, and they can learn all these other halachos from the psukim which the other one used to resolve their cases. That's enough of an argument for me. At the end of the day, that argument has the practical ramifications in all of those cases, even though it's true, it doesn't end up being a disagreement, but there are various aspects of each of the halachas which are a disagreement because of the because of the way in which Abaye and Rava learned all those discussions. Okay? One more. Going back sort of to the first question, Beribis Katsutsa, again, to say that they were arguing Ribis Katsutsa, now the Gemara is going to ask another question on this. Ask the Gemara, La Abaye lo mahada ribis, the Rava mahada ribis. Are you telling me that Rava says you have to return it, but Abaye says you don't have to return it? But Abaye also says you take it out. How do I know? Damar Abaye, hadein de mesach bechavre arba zuzi. Okay, biribisa. Someone again gave to his friend 400 zuz in ribis. V'yav isle lemalve. And he gave the malve begavase glima de shavi chamsha. And he gave for this loan a shirt which was worth 5. Okay, so a guy lent him 4, he gives him back 5. Pretty standard case of ribis, just he gave it to him as a shirt. But right to Shavi Chamsha be'arba for this loan of 4, ki mafkinan minei, says, you know, Abaye himself, when we take it away, dalad mafkinan minei, we actually only take the original loan, the one extra, you know, that we actually leave over, interestingly, says Abaye, why? We assume it's a matana. By zuz abimatana, that extra zuz, that fifth zuz, is going to be b'matana d'yahivle that he's giving him. But even Abaye agrees that the main loan we do take away. That 4, we actually cancel, and Bezdin will come in and snatch from the guy. Meaning, the guy lent him 4, that 4 gets taken by Bezdin. The original loan, we say that 4, you know, did not, gets repossessed by us. The principal, exactly. That's what we called it before, as we should be continuing calling now. V'rava amar no, chamisha mafkina mine. Rava says you take, you know, the entire thing. My tama, what's the reason? Kula b'tara ribisa ka'asi liyadeh. Rava says, everything came to his hand through ribis. You can't say that extra one was just considered to be a gift. I kind of get that more. I think we're all in agreement about that.
The article's suggesting that this payment wasn't a principal payment. It was an interest payment.
Oh. Yeah. I'm confused. What does that add?
The 4 zoos was the interest that he was supposed to pay him. But he paid him even more. He paid him.
So why is he leaving over 1 then? How does that explain Abaye?
Saying that he
you leave agreed, over some of the interest?
No, he agreed to give him 4 in interest. So the guy gave him a shirt worth 5. It must mean that the extra, he wasn't volunteering to pay more interest. He was
okay.
Just happened to give him
interesting
something
read.
Worth a little more, and that was a gift.
Interesting
I'm
read,
not
okay.
Suggesting that we would let him keep the interest, and he's paying him, and we extract interest.
Uh-huh, and Rava says,
from the person.
It wasn't sports.
And Rava says he just paid him more interest. That's all he did, so we take it all away.
Okay.
What's his sports extract principle, that you're as a penalty?
We just say
you should get the principal back normally, no? Unless you're penalizing him for charging rubles.
So we'd have to go back. The question is I'm assuming it's some sort of penalty. That's definitely, you know, again, the Gemara seems to be talking about it in terms of principal, but that explanation would certainly make sense.
Yeah.
I didn't really look into it. I just sort of accepted it.
Discussion, so we're saying that it was interesting.
Right, I think, but that would be, you know, a fair question, whether or not we would take away the original loan itself. I made mention of that earlier, knowing this case, but I don't know what the actual halacha would be. So, listen, at the end of the day, don't loan with interest, and everybody will be happy. Okay, says the Gemara Viter. Continues the Maitamakul B'Torah B'Yisikasiliyari Alakika Miflagi. Continues the Gemara in that last line before the two dots. Abai Varava. Where are they arguing? B'Shinui Kona again. In the case of Shinui Kona, and again, whatever that meant. Again, the simple way to look at this is if you change the object which you stole, whether or not that's Kona the object for you. Okay, again, that will require some fixing up of the previous case, but that's okay.
So it's not.
They don't argue in the case of Ribbez. Everybody agrees that you both take it back. The question is, how much do you take back? Okay. Now we finally get away from this argument. We get back to one of the questions about one of the questions of Abaye Varava that Rabbi Karapkin did about Kol Asher Bo Mum Lo Sakrivu. Okay, we're basically just going to focus in on that and jump through hoops to try to figure out what the pasuk prohibits when it says lo sakrivu. It says any animal, turn around, kol asher b'mum lo sakrivu, any animal which has a mum should not be brought. Okay, ask the Gemara, ma tamud lamar. What does the word lo sakrivu should not be brought mean? Im belo tishchatu, if it's telling you don't slaughter such an animal, meaning if you had an animal which was hektish, it gets a mum, then you shouldn't slaughter it. Takveri kvar amur lamata, that was already said earlier, which the Gemara is going to discuss in a moment. Elamata mud lamar, what does it teach you? Bal takrivu, what does bal takrivu teach you? Bal takdishu, okay, or lo sakrivu, bal takrivu, but lo is the same thing, okay? The Torah never really says bal. Just times when it says lo, we call it bal. What's the most famous example? Bal tashkes, right? And because I always have to say this, does anybody know what the avera of bal tashkes is?
Destroying something.
Okay, what's the Torah's case of destroying something unnecessary? We always, you know, because you hear as a kid, you threw that in the garbage, bal tashkes! That the Torah does say lo sashkes about peya, that is true, but that's not where we get the avera of valtashkes from. It's from destroying fruit trees. The Torah says you cannot destroy fruit trees, and from there we derive the iser in general to do something wasteful and damaging. But again, you know, just to keep that in mind, because I think if you asked, you know, 9 out of 10 regular from adults, you know, what is the avera of valtashkes, they would have no idea. It could be you guys would. I mean, you guys have been learning Shas for ages and ages, and certainly there are many sugyos which reference that. I know because I once gave a shir on Bal Tashkes. Cheat, I know. Anyways, there are definitely sugyos in Shas which discuss the cutting down of fruit trees and Bal Tashkes Tegufa. There's some funny gemaras. Anyways, getting back. So, Bal Takrivu, Bal Taktish. So what does Bal Takrivu mean? Then if it doesn't mean don't slaughter it, because we have another pasuk of that, it must mean Bal Taktishu, don't be makdish any korbanos that have Baal Mum, Mikan Amru, and from here they said, HaMakdish Baal Mum Legabe Mizbeach, if someone actually is Makdish, a Baal Mum, and, you know, brings it, over Mishum Chamisha Shemos, you're going to get 5 Averos for that. Mishum Baal Takrivu, which, as we said, is Baal Takdishu, because of the Avera of Baal Takrivu, which means don't be Makdish it. Because of Baal Tishchatu, the other Baal Takrivu, which means don't slaughter it. Mishum Baal Tizriku, because of an avera not to sprinkle the blood, and we shum bal taktiru ukulo, and from the fact that you're not supposed to burn it entirely, and we shum bal taktiru mixas, and the fact that you're not supposed to burn some of it, mishum riyosi riyuda amru af kabbalah sadam, even accepting the blood in the vessel and sort of gathering it, that will also be an avera. That would be a 6th avera. So you're going to get 5 averas for doing this, and the Gemara is now going to detail where do we learn out all these different averas from. The only one that we know so far is kol asher b'mum lo sakrivu, means you shouldn't be makdish it. Okay? So you've gotten stage number 1, no offering to the, you know, to the Beis HaMikdash, a korban which is blemished. Okay? Not talking about slaughtering yet, just simply being makdish it. So that we've got down pat. Now, Amar Mar, in Bal Tishchatu Arei Amar Lamata, Hechan Amor, ask the Gemara, where was it said, Lamata? Where do we have another pasuk that tells us that you can't slaughter it, right? So again, we figured out case number 1, Makdish. Now we're figuring out slaughter. Ditana, as you learned in Ebraisa, Averes Oshavura Charutze Abelas, Lo Sakrivu Elel Hashem. The pasuk says, Lo Sakrivu there too. Mata Mud Lamar, What would this be coming to teach us? In Baktak Tishu Akre Kvar Amar Lamala. If it's going to be telling you about being Makdish the Korban, well, we have another pasuk for that tell you, be Makdish. Ella, Matamur Lamar Bal Sakrivu Bal Tishchatu. This Bal Takrivu, this Lo Sakrivu means don't slaughter it. So we have one Bal Takrivu, which means don't be Makdish, one Bal Takrivu, which means don't slaughter. V'ishelo Sitnu Mehem Al Mizbeach LaHashem, which is what the Gemara is going to darshan the rest of the way. What does it mean? V'ishelo Sitnu Mehem Elu Ishim. Okay? This means you shouldn't, you know, put them on the Mizbeach, you shouldn't burn them. Einli Ela Kulan. This will only tell me V'ishelo Sitnu Mehem will tell me that if you burn the entire animal, Miktsah 79, how do I know even a little bit? Tamud Lamar, Mayhem. V'ishelo Sitnu Mayhem. Mayhem is like not the, you know, terrible disaster and, you know, Mayhem, right? No one's... Okay, finally. You know, Paul wasn't here, so I don't know if puns count. Says the Gemara. What does mayhem mean? Means part of them, even. That's the way the Gemara is darshaning the word mayhem here. So, continues the Gemara. Okay? Zrikas damim minayin. How do I know, again, even sprinkling the blood? Tavar lower. Al hamizbeach lahashem. It's something done. Al hamizbeach. Sorry, it's something done on the mizbeach. Lahashem. Okay, the next part of the pasuk says lahashem lerabo sa'ir mishtaleach. This includes even sa'ir mishtaleach that you cannot be makdish and do all these things. I mean, obviously you're not bringing it as a korban, so it's really only relevant to makdish when it has a mum. Okay, so if you have a sa'ir mishtaleach, you might think I'm chucking it off a cliff anyways. What do I care if it has a mum? It's going to end up with exactly, and it's impossible to check. By the way, right? It's going to be decimated. So, says the Gemara, nevertheless, this teaches us you cannot be makdish esarim mishtalech, which has a mum. Ask the Gemara, 1 second. It says, al mizbeach lahashem. From the word lahashem, we are including the sa'ir mishtalech in not being able to be makdish it with a mum. Lahashem l'rabosu, are you telling me that this Hashem comes to include? Ve'atanya, we have a brisa. I korban, chomean, ani afkad sheberaka bayit shenikru korban. Says the Gemara, 1 second. When it comes to saying any korban can't be mukdash as a baal mum, I would hear, even if this was referring to kachi berak abayis. Why? Because we have one place that is called korban Hashem. So therefore, maybe we would include in this rule that you can't even be mukdash a baal mum to the berak abayis. Maybe we would say that. Tamud lamar vel pesach ohel moed haroi le pesach ohel moed chayavan alav mishum shkut echut. Sorry, we're talking about shkut echutz. I was going back on the previous Gemara. Korban, again, here we're talking about, I'm sorry. Rewind 1 minute, delete it from the recording, even though it's on the recording. We're talking about a case of shkut echutz. Our case was talking about a case. The case that our Gemara was in was talking about mum. Shkut echutz. Says the Gemara, I would think that there's even an Isra on Kachi Bedek Abayis of shkut echutz. Says the Gemara, no. It's only things that are relevant to coming to the Pesach Ohel Moed, because we have a Pasuk. Only things that are supposed to be coming as, you know, korbanos to the Ohel Moed, those are things that are included in this Isser. She'ein ro'i le'Pesach Ohel Moed, but something which is not fitting to come to the entrance of the Ohel Moed. For example, by the way, what would be an example? Something like Sira Mishtaleach or something. Ein chayavan alav mishum shchutei chutz. This would be continued. Otsianias elu. So I will exclude these. V'lo otzi paras chatas sari mishtalech shein roi lepesach ohel moed. One might think that, sorry, sari mishtalech is ra'oi for the pesach ohel moed, because it comes in for the goral, so too the paras chatas comes in. So maybe I would think that these cases would be included in the rules of shchut echutz. Again, you mean you have to be slaughtering them, you know, and not doing their job. But anyway, says Zigmar Tamud Lomar Lahashem, Mishem Yuchadin Lahashem, it has to be those things that are specifically brought as a korban Lahashem, Yatsu Elu, this excludes the Sa'ira Mishtalech, Shein Yuchadin Lahashem, and the Paras Chatas, which are not Miyuchad Lahashem. Why? Because they're going out to wherever. So 1 second. This, in summary.
What about Paraduma?
Yes, this is the, I believe this is the Paraduma. Yeah, this is the Paraduma. Right? Okay, because this is going out. Okay, we're going to be bringing it outside. And again, these are two things that on the one hand, even though they're ra'oi to come into the Beis HaMikdash, they are not considered miyuchadin lashem. So we see that this brisa, just to summarize, main point to take away, this brisa says that the word lahashem comes to exclude the sa'ir ha-mishtaleach because it's not set aside for Hashem. Our Gemara just wanted to say that lahashem includes the sa'ir ha-mishtaleach. So which one is it? Says the Gemara. Amarava, no. Says Rav, it depends on the context. If we are already being inclusionary with the Pasuk, Lahashem will come to be Mima'et. And in that case, we'll look at it to be mimayit this case. On the other hand, if a case that we have is already being mimayit, is already minimizing the number of things that are included in a particular case, so Hashem will come, l'rabos, to be inclusive and to include this case. Okay. Let's get back to this. Tama dekasav kra la Hashem. Hu de lo maisi sar hamishtalayach. Hello, Rabbi kra la Hashem. Avamina sar hamishtalayach. Bamum shapir dami. Says the Gemara, 1 second. This would imply that without the pasuk, I would think you could be maktish. You know, the sar la azazel as a balmum. Could that really be mechti? Let's see. Ein agoro kavua ela bedavar haraoi. But what do you have to do with the sair hamishtalayach before you chuck him off a cliff?
He was originally a candidate
to be the Seir LaHashem, right? You have the two Seirim, and one, you have the girl becomes the Seir LaHashem, and one becomes the Seir LaHazazel. So you can't have it standing there if it has a mum. So how could you have a Havamina to say that you could bring a Seir LaHazazel which has a mum? Amar Rabbi Yosef says, Hamani, whose opinion is this? Hanan HaMitzri, he is the opinion of Hanan HaMitzri. Dam Rafilu Dam, because maybe Chavera Umizavigle, that even if there was the blood of the Seir LaHashem already in a cup, in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and the Sar LaAzazel drops dead, maybe Chavero Mezavigle, you have to bring another Sa'ir LaAzazel before you can continue with the Avoda. I mean, you can never do any Avoda with the Sa'ir LaHashem, even once it's already been slaughtered, if there's no Sar LaAzazel alongside it.
I think his point is that you don't have to start all over, but you can just bring the Sa'ir LaAzazel as a one-off.
Correct. Meaning you don't have to do the Goral at this point. Correct. The point is that you can bring a Sa'ir LaAzazel, so it's irrelevant to the stage of the process. Right. The point is you can just take any Sa'ir and bring it as a Sa'ir LaAzazel, in which case, ostensibly, it could be a Balmum, because this one would never have to stand in the Goral. Says the Gemara, Nihi d'shamas le'lechan hanamitzri de lo havidichoy. It's true that you wouldn't have to push off everything, right? And again, completely ruin the avoda. Says the Gemara, at the end of the day, we don't know for a fact that he wouldn't say you still have to have a goral between two of them. Meaning maybe he would say that they still have to be fit for the other one. Meaning he would say that the halachos that applied originally may have to still apply now, and you have to bring in two, and whichever one ended up being the azazel, that would be the one which was brought. But nevertheless, you might still have a mock lottery, so to say. Even though, yes, you're not going to be slaughtering this new carbon LaHashem, it may still have to be fitting when you brought it up there. So yeah, that wouldn't really answer the question, says the Gemara. Dilma Maisi Umagrul, maybe you will bring them, you know, bring two and do a Goral. In which case, again, at the time that they're sitting in the Goral, they have to be fit to be either LaHashem or LaZazel. So still, we haven't resolved our question, and why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the Sa'ir LaAzazel can't have a balmum when you're being maktish? El Amar Rav Yosef Amani Rav Shimon he says Rav Yosef, no, we found an opinion like that. Rav Shimon Tanya Meis Echad Mehan Mevi Chavir Belo HaGrala. He literally says, if one of them died, so he says Sa'ir LaAzazel drops dead, has a heart attack, Mevi Chavir Belo HaGrala. You bring it without a HaGrala, and therefore, there's a very simple, easy case. If it dies, you can bring in another one. Hava Mina, you could bring a balmum because it's getting chucked off a cliff. Kamash Malan the Pasuk, no, LaHashem teaches you cannot.
Dying is a big balmum.
Right, Diver of Shimon. Yes, dying is a pretty big balmum, and that's why I would not say that you take this Sa'ir LaAzazel and push it off a cliff when it's already dead. Rava Amar, in fact, that's why it's possible to be done so. Rava Amar, Rava says, Lo Nitzricha, says, all this is unnecessary. You're having a whole long fancy discussion, bring Lamdis and here and this, we bring a Raya from this case and that case. What are you driving me crazy? Kontrihuman, Bo Bayom, Vichilo Al Chavero. Again, it just died that day after you already did the Goral. I mean, you did the Goral. Something happened to it. It stepped on a burr in the Azara, whatever the case was.
They ripped a hunk out of him as he was going out of the Beit HaMikdash, remember? So then they had to take him on a bridge because people were plucking him in.
Right. Right, that's correct. Yeah, it's Mishnah Numa, correct.
That would constitute a
moon.
Right. Yeah. So says the Gemara, and again, this is what happened here. Sakhet el Chamina Bishlam Meikar lo Yadani Haimikval Hashem Aval Hacha Kevin the Inkar Shem lo Laki. One might have thought that originally, beforehand, why is it that it have to be Tamim? Because it could be that this would end up being the Sa'ir LaHashem. So therefore, you would think that now it's already been chosen, you don't have to worry about bringing it as a Baal Mom. Says the Gemara, Kamash Malan. This comes to teach us that no. Even though now you've already chosen this Sa'ir LaHashem, and this one's going LaAzazel, so you still can't bring it as a Baal Mum.